Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight we want to focus on verse 5 of the book of Nehemiah. Last week we took time to look at the builders of the wall, but today we want to take time to consider that verse that stood out from all of the verses, all of the 32 verses of the book of Nehemiah chapter 3. It's a very important chapter because there we find the records of the builders of the wall and the roles played by each of them. You know that the reason why Nehemiah embarked on that assignment was because he wanted to rebuild the wall and to put up the gate. And here in chapter 3, we found the names of the people that actually did the work. So that chapter is important, just like every other chapter is very important. But one thing that we took home from last week, one of the lessons we took home was the fact that God keeps record. God keeps record. And this record till today, I don't know how many years that have passed since this assignment was completed. But today, we are still reading about all of these people. So God keeps record of what we are doing. So whether it is written by man or not written by man, God has his own record and is keeping record of everything that we are doing in his name or not doing in his name. I'll read verse 5. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles will not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. That stood out. And I'm sure when you read it, you didn't just gloss through it. You took time to think, why did the nobles not do the assignment that was given unto them? Now, let's take note that some of them did. The Bible says, the next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles. So, the men of Tekoa, some of the people from Tekoa, did the assignment, but some people did not do the assignment. And the Bible was specific enough to tell us who these people that did not do the work were. And he called them the nobles. So the first question is, what is the meaning of that word noble? If you look at the Bible meaning and the day-to-day meaning of the word noble, what is the meaning of that word noble? However, before we go, Let us quickly look at what other translations of the Bible say about that passage. Audiovisual, can you give me the message? The Message Bible, Nehemiah 3, verse 5, from the Message. Thank you. It says, next to him, the Tekoites, except for their nobles, who wouldn't walk with their master, and refuse to get their hands dirty with such work. Okay. Do you have Amplified? Do you have Amplified? Amplified? Thank you. It says, next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles or lords did not put their necks to the work of their lord. So, that word noble, is constant in all of the passages. Who are the people we refer to as nobles? We need microphone, please. Who are the people we refer to as? Okay, you're already there. Who are the people we refer to as nobles? In the day-to-day translation or meaning, what is the meaning of noble? If you say somebody is noble, what are we saying? Yes, who wants to help us? Yes, ma'am. The rich and the mighty, so those who are rich, those who are mighty, they are referred to as the nobles. Okay? Is that any other, sir? The ruling class. So those who are up there, they are the nobles. The rich, the mighty, those who are in authority, who are ruling. So they are the ones that the Bible, that we call nobles. Okay? So we understand now that the people that this passage was referring to were the people who are the ruling class, which we mean that we can consider those who now did the work to be the I don't want to use the word the Nigerians use. They will say ordinary Nigerians. And I don't like to hear ordinary Nigerians. Because we all have 2 eyes and 2 ears and everything. So why is somebody ordinary and the other was extraordinary? Okay, so the regular people, those who are not rich, they were the ones that did the work. Why those who were honorable, they are the ones that didn't do the work. From that passage, the Bible says, especially in NIV and all of the 2 other passages that we read, it says they didn't put their shoulder to the work under their supervisors. And I want you to underline the word supervisors. They didn't put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. So they had supervisors. But they did not want to follow the leadership of the supervisors. So these nobles didn't do the work because they didn't want to follow the leadership of the supervisor. But apart from this, what could be some other reasons why they didn't want to do the work? Yes, yes, ma'am. Okay, pride. So they felt, one passage says they are dirty. You know, they didn't want to soil their hands, so it was dirty. Building the wall was a dirty job, so they didn't want to get dirty. You know, it's dirty. Any other? Yes, sir. It was demeaning. Okay, how can people like us be doing this dirty work? Okay, so it was demeaning, it was dirty. Any other one? Yes, ma'am.
Supervisors here.
I'm not hearing you.
The Bible described the supervisors that they were the governors, they were the leaders, they were the lords, they were the ones in charge, they were the ones that were appointed. So for me, one of the reasons the nobles, they were disobedient. They were just disobedient people. It was in their character to be disobedient. It didn't matter who it was because they had people who they had appointed to be their Lord and they were just disobedient.
All right. So they were disobedient. They were disobedient because somebody has said they were proud. If they felt it was demeaning. So part of their disobedience was that pride. Because in explaining now, you said these people had been chosen to be in charge. So it wasn't like they didn't know that some people must lead anyway. But because they didn't want to submit to these people, we assume that for that reason, they did not want to work. Okay. Any other one, apart from all of these 3 that we have mentioned? Yes, ma'am. So. They did not believe in the vision to build. Thank you very much. So, they had not bought into the vision to build. So since they had not bought into the vision, whether you like build, whether you like don't build, and who knows whether the wall staying the way it was to their own favor. You know, it's possible. They were nobles, they were honorable people. So whether you, as long as I'm okay, no matter what happens to any other person, it's not my business. Actually, it's even to my own advantage. So whether you build it or you don't build it, it's not my business. So they were, now, you know, part of the things we learned from this Bible, from this book of Nehemiah, was the fact that God put it in his heart to want to do the work, to want to build. He was in a strange land, but God had put it in his heart to carry the burden for the world to be rebuilt. Now, these honorable people were there. They were looking at it, but they were not concerned. So which means I want to agree with that point that they are not bought into the vision. And it was possible that they were actually making gains from that misfortune that befell the city. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I saw another hand. Okay. Sorry, let him bring the microphone.
They feel without them, the world will not be successful.
Okay. They felt without them, the work will not be successful. Do we agree with that? If they didn't share in the vision, maybe, since they didn't share the vision, so most likely they felt, let it be, if they don't finish it, let it be there. Or it could be that they just felt, we know if we don't do it, some people will do it anyway. But we are not part of it. We are not even concerned. Anything could be the reason. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, that's part of what we said earlier. They were already okay. So if I'm okay, whatever happens to anybody is their business. It's not my business.
They were arrogant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've said that. They were arrogant. There was pride in them. So the nobles, they didn't do the work. Because they were arrogant, they were proud, they felt the work was demeaning, it wasn't their business, they didn't buy into the vision, so they were not concerned about this. Let's now go to this third question. Why do some people shy away from getting involved in serving in the church? Let's bring it home now. We've seen the nobles. The Bible put you didn't write their name one after the other, but the Bible was able to put them together. They are the nobles. They didn't do the work. Why is it that some people in the church do not want to serve God in the church? Because if you come to this church particularly, you will see the same people in almost every committee. If you want to do this thing, you begin to mention name. You mention so-so-so name. If you get to another committee, you find, you know, how many of us, when we have PDV meeting, you are running to ministry, and you still have to be here, you still have to be there, because there are people who do not want to work. What are some of the reasons that people give for not wanting to work? Or maybe you can help. When you were not serving in church, those days when you were not part of, or maybe some of us come for midweek service, but you are not doing anything in church, you can help us. Why do you not want, why do you not? Anyway, you understand the question. Why is it that people don't want to serve in the church?
Sorry,
if I don't identify you, don't give them a microphone. No, I'm the yoga in charge. Thank you. Yes, please.
Okay. Praise God.
Yeah.
I think they are too busy.
Okay.
And then we can also use it, the word that we use, maybe arrogant.
That's different too. Busy. Different from arrogance. So, are you giving us the two? Okay, thank you. So, let's take it one after the other. I'm coming, please. Busy. Can anyone be too busy for anything that you are interested in? Hello? Anything that you are interested in doing, will you always find time to do it? I want to hear. If you have to be in Ibadan this night, if you have to be in Abuja this night, let's say there's an emergency and you need to be in Abuja this night, will you not get there this night? Will you not find a way of getting there? Anything that we're interested in, we can never be too busy for. But of course, like you said, that is the excuse that people give. I'm too busy. I don't have time. But the moment you make up your mind to serve, there will always be time. But many times we give the excuse that we don't have time. Then number two, arrogance. Well, maybe like the nobles, they feel working for God is for the people that are jobless. But some people believe that those who are serving in church, who are always available in church, are people who have nothing to do. Every Monday you are going to church, discipleship. Tuesday, what do you do on Tuesday? Choir practice, Wednesday, midweek service, Thursday, Sunday school. You don't have anything. Church. They just believe that you are not serious. You are not serious. Okay, I saw. Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Tai was on.
Some people feel inadequate, just like Moses.
Okay, so some people don't serve because they feel, I can't. How will I do it? I can't speak English. I didn't finish secondary school. In a church like this, where you have rich people, where you have educated people, somebody is doing like this, as if I'm speaking my mind. When you have educated people, what will I be doing there? So they don't want to serve because they don't want to be disgraced, in quotes. They feel I'm not adequate. Okay. Dr. Noiga, I think we need two microphones so we can move very fast.
People believe, but they don't want to belong. They come to church, they believe, but they don't want to belong. And you have to move from belief to belonging.
Okay.
Real members.
Can you give us reasons why some people don't want to belong?
And they do, one or two basic reasons is that they will give the excuse that they are shy. They don't want people to see them, which means they're not confident enough of their stand for Christ.
Okay.
And so they sit on the fence.
So they believe in God,
but they don't want to belong to the family itself.
So they don't want to belong to the family of God. They believe in, they've accepted Jesus, but they don't want to belong to the family. All right, thank you. So do we agree with that? And I think some people don't want to belong because they don't want to expose themselves too much. That's another reason. Some people do not want to get into service or get into the life of the church so that you don't know them too much. I don't want anybody to come to my house. I don't want anybody to begin to pry into my affairs. I want to do my own thing, and then you do your own thing, and they do their own thing. I'm serving God. That's okay. That's another reason. Thank you. Let's come here.
I believe that all those excuses is driven by the level of conviction. When you are not fully in Christ, you make excuses. But when you have grown, you grow to the extent that all those busyness, when you take Matthew 6:33, when you are fully convinced in it, then you prioritize God and the service of God. Right. So when that is not there, then we give excuses.
Okay. So our level of spiritual growth also determines how committed we are to the Lord. Thank you. I take two more. Yes, ma'am. Give him that mic.
Hello? Yes, I say I was going.
Okay, some people have skeletons in their cupboard. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, you said that because I do not want people to know who I am, I do not want to serve. Mrs. You then him.
Service in church at times, when why people don't want to serve is some of them, they've been comfortable and nothing has happened. They don't see any need to serve in church because their faith has not been tested, in quote. Because at times something happens to you and you see the members of the church all around you and all that. By the time you realize yourself, you will know that it's important to be somewhere because you will need people too.
Okay, so they are not serving because they've not seen any need.
Something has not happened. You know, your faith has not been tested.
All right.
Because when your faith is tested and you
discover that the closest family is the church family. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, sir. So that will be the... There are many answers.
I think for somebody to serve, you must have the conviction. You must know the truth. You can come to a church, join everybody. You don't have the conviction why you are in the church. You know the truth. The truth will set you free. If you are really saved, you will know that you are saved to serve.
All right.
But you can be coming to church, you can be busybody, but you don't really know the truth.
Okay.
When you know the truth will set you free.
All right.
And whom the song has set free is free indeed. So you need that conviction. Even Saul, when he was Saul, he was very convinced what he was doing. But when the Lord met him, he turned all around and he was ready to die for Christ.
Okay.
So you need to be convinced. You need to know the truth that will set you free.
All right. Thank you. All of these points that we have given are very, very important. And I think we've not said there are also some other points. Who is that? Okay. Mr. Don and Mrs. Fadi, why are you sitting at the back? Okay, you are usher. I pardon you. Quickly.
Hello. Some people will say they don't like church politics, that there is too much politics in the church. Even when you invite some to WMS, they will say, I don't want WMS Wahala Jare. There is too much politics.
All right.
That is what
Thank
some
you.
People think.
All right. Thank you. So they don't want to serve because they don't want any problem. Okay, they believe there's problem in church. Okay, Mr. Don, the last one.
I think some people are afraid of failures. You know, there are people when you give them some position, they won't be able to carry it in the sense that they want to do it the way they feel is possible. They wouldn't find a way of asking God to help them to do it.
All right. So they are afraid of failing. How about those that have been disappointed? They've served before, but they've had some very bad experiences. And so they decided, I'd rather not. Any other church I go to, I'm just going to go there as a worshiper. Before you say the grace, they have left. There are some of them in this church. Before you say the grace, they have left because of their experiences. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. How can we encourage such people to get involved? How can we encourage them to walk? How can we encourage them to walk? Yes. Can we encourage them to walk? Before we look at the Bible, how can we encourage? There's a hand there.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To my understanding, I think the Techwards and the nobles, they were not having the same vision. The nobles did not share in the vision of the Techwards. And so, that means they're not to be dedicated.
We are treating question four now. How can we encourage those in the church of today, in Koyi Baptist Church now? We have people who are not serving, who just come, take the grace of God and live. How do we encourage them to begin to serve? That's the question we want to
okay.
answer now.
How we encourage such people is to, we that are serving, we have to be dedicated.
Okay, to be an example?
Yes.
All right. So we should be the example for them to follow. Any other one?
Pray and encourage.
So we encourage them, get close to them, engage them, ask them, why are you not involved? Yes?
I think we should encourage them, let them understand that what we sow is what we reap. That if we can't work for a company because there is reward, there is more benefits and more rewards in the work of God.
Thank you.
And again, let there be enablement or let there be freedom to serve. Because some leaders in various committees have discouraged a lot of people not to serve. Some of them are disappointed, and for that purpose, they won't like to join other ministries to serve.
Yeah, and that was why I said we should underline the word the leaders, because we can look at it from various angles. The roles of the leaders in either encouraging people to work for God or discouraging people from working for God. That is really very important. Let's quickly go to the passages we have. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 and 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 11 and 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Bible says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Then verse 14. Verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So if we take it one by one, it says we should urge them, we should encourage them, we should identify them. Let us identify these people who are not working, who are not serving anywhere in church. Some people, the only thing they need is a little push. A little encouragement, someone to engage them and say, ah, sister, so-and-so, what are you doing? Why are you not serving in church? Some have not even thought about it. Some don't think their service is needed. You know, in a church that is as big as this, you think everybody has taken, all positions have been occupied. There are people already working. What am I coming to do? There's nothing I can render anymore. Let us engage them. Let's identify these people and engage them. Tell them, can you come and join in this ministry? In fact, in your own ministry, you can identify people and bring them to come and serve as the Lord leads you. So the Bible says we should urge them and also warn them. We should warn those who are idle. So the Bible does not support idle hands in the house of God. The Bible wants everybody to be at work. Everybody should be working. Everybody must be busy doing something for the house of God. In the name of Jesus, everybody must be doing something. And encourage the timid. Can you see that? There are those who are timid, who are shy, who think, I do not have what it takes. I'm not educated, I'm not exposed, I cannot speak English. But let's encourage them that the little English you can speak, you can serve somewhere. You don't have to stand before people to teach. You can do your little thing in your little corner. Let us let them know that it is not those whose services are being seen that we should reckon with. There are people who render services that nobody is seeing them. You can do your service before anybody comes to church. You can do your service in a quiet place where nobody sees you. You can do your service with the children. Okay, teaching children that cannot speak English. You can be a helper. You can help in, you know, anything that you can do, as long as you are doing it with your mind and with dedication to the Lord. The Lord is happy. So nobody should come to the church and say, I have nothing to do. It says we should help the weak and be patient with everyone. And so as we are encouraging, as you are warning, as you are talking, not everybody will receive at the same time. All we have to do is to try and adjust and understand that we are different. And because we are different, it will take time before we all get there. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's see Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. It says, and let us consider how we may do what? How we may do what? Spur one another on what? Toward love and good deeds. That word spur, what's the meaning of the word spur? How we can... I'm looking for what's the word now? Ginger. Push. Uh-huh. One another towards love and good deeds. What can we do to make somebody excited to want to serve? What can we do? The Bible says we should try and discover what we can do to let somebody be willing to work, be wanting to work, you know, be encouraged to work. And I think that If you want examples, we have enough examples in this church, particularly where you find people of different caliber, different class, everybody relating together, not minding this one is high here, this one is there. Everybody is able to mingle together. So we should not spoil others. These are things that we do that people see and they want to walk. If this man is walking, then why can I not walk? If this woman can relate with this person, why can I not? You know, the beauty of discipleship that I've seen over the years is that it breaks barriers. Discipleship breaks barriers. You see somebody, you just look at this one who is in university and this one who is MD. They are in the same group. Oh, they are doing their assignment or project together. And they are relating together as brothers, as sisters. There is no class because Jesus Christ breaks all the barriers. And so nobody has enough excuse to say, there is nothing I can do. There's a song. What's the song though? Let nobody, I hear you, there's nothing I can. What's the song? Hear the voice, act the voice of Jesus saying, calling, will we go on? So he says nobody should say there is nothing I can do because the field is ripe unto harvest. There's plenty you can do. Don't say they have done everything. There is something you can do. So we can encourage others to give, to work, to serve the Lord as it enables them. So what are the specific names you can call the problem in Nehemiah 3 verse 5? From all of this that we have mentioned, all of these reasons that we have given, so if you want to give it, so problem. What kind of problem? What kind of name are we going to tag? What's the tag you will give to the issue that we find in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5? What's the tag you will give it? What's the name you will give that problem? Hello? Pride issue in the church. Leadership problem. Worker apathy. Anything. What is it? What's your own idea of that problem that we find? Or was it not a problem? Was it just put there? That verse 5 was just put there as a mistake. Was it a mistake? Was it there by mistake? It wasn't there by mistake, and that's why we are paying attention to that verse 5. Because God is calling our attention to it. That of all the people that were listed, women were listed, you know, the perfumers were listed, the carpenters were mentioned, yet there were some people who did not work. They were expected to be the ones to work. In fact, they should be the ones that will bring their resources to work. But the Bible says they refused to put their shoulders down for the work. It shows the work was hard, but they were not ready to lift a finger. They say, for where? Mike. I'm not part of it. It's that they just sit down, look. You know that kind of attitude. See them, make them, they do them. I'm not part of them. So the Bible is talking to us that there are issues that we must address as a church. Number 6, what are the benefits of serving in the Lord's vineyard? And I want us to be specific now before we go to this passage, to the passages we have there. You that have, if you have been serving in the vineyard of God, you've been part of working for God, you come to church at least twice in the week. Have you gained anything? Have you benefited anything? Can you say God is a faithful God in a specific way? Or, is there an example of where you have seen God come through for you because of your services or your commitment to Him? Anyone? Anyone? Brother Clement, number 1. Mrs. Zoto, number 2. Mr. Don, number 3. Dickness Arenka, number 4. Brother Elvis, number 5. So, briefly, no long story, just...
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One of the benefits is good health. 2, provision from God, and God's protection. I can't remember the year I've been admitted in the hospital.
and the Lord has been faithful. Praise the Lord.
Okay, so you've enjoyed God's health, provision, and faithfulness. Number two.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Serve the Master says in our song, says, it pays to serve Jesus. I remember I traveled to Rijal. I had something, an issue, and I wanted that matter resolved. I went for evangelism in Rijal. And I told God, I said, God, I'm going there. And God, I know you will meet me at the point of my needs. As I was there in Rijal before coming back, that problem was solved.
All right. Praise the Lord. So God, you can say God is faithful. When you do his business, he will do your business. Amen. Number three, who is number three? Who is number three? Okay, Mr. Don.
Like what you have said, when you do God's business, you just definitely do your business. When you take care of God's things, God take care of your things. He is ever faithful.
Amen.
His grace is ever sufficient.
Hallelujah. I hope somebody is being encouraged this evening. You've not been serving in church. You've not been doing anything. You say, I've just been here for 1 year or 2 years. What will I do? By now, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you to know what you will do. You know, I've seen some people who come to me and they tell me, I've been in this church for 5 years. I've been a member for 5 years. I've been coming, you know, and they will be telling me stories of, and I'm like, you've been in this church for 5 years and nobody knows you. Say, hi, come. And I've been, that is not a good news, though. It's not a good story to say. That you have been in a church for 5 years and you've not been in any ministry. Nobody knows you anywhere. You are not doing anything. That is really not good. Everybody must be involved somewhere. The Lord will help us. In Jesus' name. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are so many benefits for serving in the church. One, very first one I would say is that you learn so much. I don't know anything that I know today that I didn't learn in the church. To speak in public, to be bold, to be confident. I can talk to anybody anywhere. I didn't learn it in his university. I learned it in the church. And I have so many skills that sometimes I wonder, people ask me, did you learn this? I never learned them. But being in the church, the Holy Spirit, as I continue to come, he continues to teach me through other people that are there. And also, in working in the church, I have a great family. If I'm doing anything today, in fact, I'm worried that I will not have enough to take care of them. But also they come, they are there for me, and they provide for my needs. So when I need something, people will say, oh, this one does not. Many people in this church, they give me so many gifts because I'm in this church.
Amen.
And also, because I'm working for God, God takes care of my every need. No matter how little, no matter how great, he takes care of it. And I'm confident that as I continue, he will continue to take care of those needs.
Thank you very much. Fantastic points. Things we learn. When serving church, I think one of the beauties of growing up in the church for somebody like me is the fact that you just learn to be a leader. You learn to be a leader. Look at all of this, our young children, our teenagers, they are in that corner. You do not know what God is helping us to do in them, and even the children, when they come on stage to make presentation, when they stand in front, when they do this and that, we do not know that we are actually preparing them to take up leadership roles, to stand confidently before their mates, to stand before people who are older than them, to be able to make presentation. Have you seen people? I've seen people who are CEOs, who are captains of industries, who cannot stand. I've seen someone who couldn't stand here. He was afraid. He was shaking. And I began to say, what is the big deal in standing here? Actually, it's a big deal. It is a big deal because it takes doing it from time to time and enjoying God's grace to be able to do it. And many times you find some people, when you are coming to stand, you will have to, they will say, don't look at anybody's face. Just be looking at the wristwatch there. So you'll be looking at the clock. Just be looking at the clock. So you'll be looking at the clock so that you don't, you are not afraid. Yes. Those are things that we are able to build confidence because we have been serving. Even in our small groups on the school, standing up to talk. Do you know some people cannot do it? But as they do it from time to time, they begin to build confidence and gain confidence. And before you know it, they begin to take up responsibilities and even become a Sunday school teacher themselves. These are the ways the church helps us to grow in our knowledge of God and in our skill, and also getting to learn from people. People are coming from different places, different experiences. This one is coming. You are in the same committee. He brings his skill. You bring your skill. He brings his idea. You bring your idea. And you begin to, you now go out. I remember when I was doing a master's program in UNILAG, and I was in one group project, and we were supposed to go to prison, Kirikiri prison, to have sessions of counseling for the prisoners. And I saw the other group members who are working in NGOs, who are teachers, and I was like, what are you people doing? Because what they were doing was too elementary for me. I had to slow down. I had to slow down because I discovered that, okay, over time, these were things I was already doing, okay, because of my exposure to church, but which was like a big work for them. So getting topics to talk about, how to talk about it, and all of those things, they were easy for me because over time I've been able to grow in the church, learn from other people, and all of that. So these are, you know, look at the benefits that you find from serving in the vineyard of God. These are things that you are not paid for. These are things that, you don't receive cash for. But do you know that there are other benefits that you can actually that can be in kind or in cash, that you look around, you can always call. Do you know that many times when many of us need some things, you don't think about your family because nobody in your family can help you. But who can help you? Somebody in the church. How many of us have had to call members of the church when we needed something? I've had to call members of the church. Hospital. Dr. Noiga. In the midnight, Dr. Noiga. Dr. Renyeka. They are giving you appointments. Come and meet them here. So come and meet. Dr. Re. You know, you are calling them. They are telling you to come. Some of these tests, you are not paying. They are even, or you are paying very cheap, because I remember recently I had to take my dad to hospital for eye issue and all of that. And I had to speak to somebody whose sister ophthalmologist. I had gone to government hospital, but I wanted a second opinion, and it was a private hospital. I knew if I had to pay, the person didn't collect money. And they wanted to give me the medication for free. I said, you cannot refuse to collect money for consultation and not collect money for medication. That would be too much. I'm just saying, these are some of the benefits that we gain. However, you are not coming because of all of this. You are not your first reason for wanting to serve is not because I can find people who will help me, or so I can find people who will stand by me, but because you want to serve God. You want to serve him because he has done everything for you. And there is benefit in serving him. There is blessing in serving him. So when you seek first his kingdom, when you serve the Lord, you gain more by serving him. I pray that we are being gingered. Those of us who are feeling like discouraged, now you are picking up courage. It doesn't matter what I hear. It doesn't matter who my leader is. It doesn't matter what they do. You are not there to serve that leader. The Bible says looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher of our faith. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Who is number five?
Okay, praise God. In fact, I'm one of those that benefited from what you just said concerning standing boldly to teach. I remember when I used to attend the home stay here, Reverend Young will give us the topics to go and research and summarize on Sundays. That helped me a lot. And also, all the little success I've achieved so far, I attributed it to my service in the house of the Lord. Because when I look back from where I'm coming from and the things that I've achieved so far, I attributed it to the service in the house of the Lord. One, the first job I did when I came to Lagos, I don't know how it just came about, I know he's a member of the church that did it for me. And also to share this, the first international flight I entered, you know, a few years ago, like almost 12 years ago, because I was serving in the church. So it has a lot of benefits. And I pray that whoever that is not serving, find it, you know, a duty to serve in the house of the Lord. There's so many benefits, both spiritually and materially.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are being encouraged to serve the Lord. I think that's the last. That's the last one. You have a testimony? Okay, so that will be the last one before we look at the passages. Hallelujah.
The Bible says seek ye first.
Give her mic. Okay, her voice is enough, eh?
I have a loud voice.
They can't hear. Let him give you a microphone.
The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Recently, what are these things? They are shadows that we always chase. Recently, I traveled and I saw something that I wanted. Honestly, I went there. I checked when I saw the money in
the price
in pound sterling. I ran away. The devil in me arose. I said, I can't buy this thing. Or even if somebody gives me the money, I will not use it to buy this thing. When I came back, about the third day, somebody brought a box wrapped. I thought it was a birthday gift or birthday cake. I said, how can these people be bringing this cake this time? So I came for the program in the church. On getting back, I opened the box. It was exactly that thing that I prized. It was even bigger than that. In fact, I began to glorify God. In fact, that is one of the benefits. At times, I would just be thinking of getting something.
Was it from a member?
No.
Okay, but...
It was a corporate gift.
Okay, well, but was it because your service, you serve God?
Yes, sir.
So
yes,
you see it as one of the benefits of serving?
Yes, I see it as a benefit. Okay. Things that normally I should have been running after to, okay, you know, to acquire,
okay,
by force,
I get
by
you
fire.
Now. All right.
But at that point, when you make up your mind that, yes, I want to seek God, all these things that we normally run after will be added unto us.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. One of the reasons, and you see people, some people are still in the office. So they are still in the office now. They are still working. Some people are still at the marketplace where they are serving. They are still there working. They will not come to church because, you know, it's in the night that customers come. It is at this time that we can work well. Until we understand that God is sufficient, we will continue to run after shadows. Let's see 1 Corinthians 15:58. I want us to read it together. It's one of my very favorite passages. Can we read it together? 1 Corinthians 15:58. One, two, go. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves, how? Fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Fully, fully, not one leg in, one leg out. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Proverbs 11:25. Let's read it together. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. When we serve God, when we become a blessing to others, God will bless us in return. He will make others be a blessing unto us. That is what that passage is saying. Hebrews 6:10. Let's read it together. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So God is a just God. Whatever we do in his name, in his vineyard, he will never forget us. So we must have that at the back of our mind, that everything we are doing, God is writing it down. God is watching us, and God is going to bless us in Jesus' name. All right, the last... Okay, what should be our response to those who do not serve? So what should now be our response to those who do not serve? That is what I'm saying here is that you have tried to encourage them, you have called them, you have given them assignments, yet they are not serving. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? Mrs. Akinjoegbe.
First of all, we should pray for them.
Pray for them.
Yes, then we should tell them that they are coming to the house of the God. They are not coming here because of anybody. They are coming here to serve God Almighty.
All right.
That anything they do for God, there is a reward at the end. Not by any human being.
By God himself. Okay. So we should... the way she was shaking her head, as if she was fighting with them. So we shouldn't fight them. But we should encourage them. Any other one? You were raising your hand. She has said it. She has said it. Okay, if she has said it. I was going to ask, when she said we should pray for them, I was going to ask what kind of prayer should we pray for them. So he's saying we should pray that the Holy Spirit should touch them.
And convince them.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit will do the work of conviction. All right. Any other one? What else should we do? Yes, ma'am.
I think we should be patient with them because the Holy Spirit works in different ways. And sometimes some people also are slower to respond to things than others. So we should be patient with them, continue to trust that as we encourage them, we love them, we pray for them, that one day they will come to that point where they will serve God fully.
Okay, beautiful. We should be patient with them. Okay. All right.
We should call them and send a word of encouragement to them.
Okay, so we should encourage them by calling them. Not where everybody is there. Is there. You are not doing anything in church. God, we ask you. Is that how to tell them? That's not how to tell them. We should call them and talk to them. Okay. All right, okay.
We should, as we are encouraging them, we should let them know that they are not working for anybody.
All right.
That they are working for God, and God is the one that will diligently reward anyone that work for him.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's read these passages. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. Let's see what God has for us from that passage. Let's read it together. I want to go. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by or by few." So if we've done everything and they still refuse to serve, let us understand that God can save by many, he can save by few. What God wants to do, he will do, whether by many or by few. And you know, he said in a particular passage that he can raise stones. So he can raise what? Stones. There's a proverb in Yoruba that says, we cannot have another God, another almighty God, but we can have different me. Uh-huh. So if I say, without me, they won't do this work. Now lie. That they will do it. Haven't you seen the person, the man holding the key to the back room of the bank? When he collapsed, what did they do? As they were before they even brought the ambulance, they removed their key from his pocket. Meanwhile, they were giving him the impression that without him, nothing will happen. So he was not resting. But when he collapsed, what happened? They found a substitute. So it is, nobody should think that if I don't do it, nobody, except God, is not ready to work, to do his work, or to look for somebody. That office that we are still looking for somebody to do, to take, and nobody is taking. When God is ready, he will do his work. So we must understand that he can work by many or by few. Colossians 3:23. Let's read together. Whatever you do, work at it with what? As working for, not for. So we must let them understand that this work we're asking you to do, you are not doing it because of me. It is because of God. So if you are doing it because of God, let's do it well. Be ready to do it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Let's read it together. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with what? For in the grave where you are going, there is neither nor knowledge, nor wisdom. You see, some people wish that they still have strength to walk. Especially when you meet those who gave their life to Jesus in old age. And they see how young people are running and serving God, running up and down. And they cannot, and they wish they can. So let's do that assignment with all of our hearts. That passage is for those of us who are working and those of us who are not working. Galatians 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. All right, let's go. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So in case we have somebody who had been working before but stopped, let's encourage that person. Not give up. Let's not give up. There is an harvest that is waiting for us. In conclusion, let us read these other passages before we leave. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to present, let's read this together. Do your best to present yourself to God as what? As one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So in our services to God, we must do it as one approved. We must do it as a workman that is not ashamed. God must approve that work that we are doing in his vineyard. I pray God will approve our work in his vineyard in Jesus' name. Which means that one can be working without approval. We can be working in church and God is not happy with that work we are doing. That's another aspect of this working or not working. Some people, it's even better for some people not to work than the kind of work they are doing. You know, it is possible to work in a manner that God is not glorified. May we not be like that in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It says, never be lacking in what? But keep your doing what? Serving the Lord. Spiritual. Keep your spiritual fervor. That means it's like let the fire keep burning. The fire on your altar must not grow dim. The fire on your altar must not grow. And how can the fire on the altar of our service continue to grow? When we service it with what? What brings the zeal? What brings the zeal? When we can run very well. What brings the zeal? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we spend time in the presence of God, so that fire will be burning, that work will be rewarding, that work will bring blessing to the people that are around us, even to God himself. So we should never be lacking in zeal. I pray the Lord will help us to do his work with all of our might and in a way that we glorify him. In conclusion, in any group organization, there are bound to be dissenting voices. No matter their status or level of influence, you should not allow them to discourage you from working for the Lord. Remember, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We pray that each one of us will know that what God is doing in Ikoyi Baptist Church, rebuilding the broken wall, it is everybody's business. It's not the business of some. It is the business of every one of us. So we shouldn't hear, there is nothing I can do. No, there is plenty that God wants you to do. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Do we have any questions? Take two questions. If there are any. Okay, Mrs. Zoto and our brother.
It's not really a question, it's just an observation. At times, why people don't want serving in church, at times it has to do with who is leading the group, who is the leader of that group. And then at times, some of us, we are too busy in so many groups. It's not that we're really serving, we're almost everywhere. And that type of attitude is not very good. You should identify where you'll be best used and where you enjoy doing what you are doing. You can't be everywhere. Because some of us, you can find out that they are everywhere and they're not really doing well. And where they are, because they are everywhere, they tend to discourage people that want to be there. And they tend to look down on some other people that are there because they believe their ideas or they believe that they can do better than other people. Meanwhile, at times you find out that those other people that they are discouraging are even better in those areas. So we have to find out where God really wants us to really serve, not just serving. Right. Or be everywhere, being busybody everywhere.
All right, God will help us. I'm sure that we will all go, we will take time to think about this passage. It's just one verse, but I believe that there is a lot for us to learn from it. That our service is important before God, but we must know the kind of service that we are rendering in his house. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I wanted to share some experiences and observations.
Ah, please, I don't do that. There's no time. It's question I'm asking for now.
Oh, question.
Yes. You don't have any question? Maybe we'll leave the experience for...
No, I want to add a caveat to what has been discussed. Just one or two statements.
All right.
I discovered that there's a difference between serving and working. And when we say somebody is working or serving in the vineyard and he's not approved, most people are serving in what God has not asked or called them to do. For example, somebody is called an evangelist and you are working as an usher. It's not approved. It will not count. And there are those that are serving in the vineyard and those that are working outside the vineyard. Those that are winning souls 3 times, 4 times a week. Those that are propagating the gospel, doing morning cries as much as they can would sell.
Well, let us not be the judge of who is doing what. Our focus for this lesson is the fact that when there is work in God's vineyard, and everybody is expected to do God's work in his vineyard. So let's leave that judgment of who is doing what or who is not doing what. Let's leave it for the Lord to judge. Let's not go into the technicalities of working and serving. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I saw Mrs. Olowude. Who was that? I saw somebody here. You again, Mr. Clements. Okay, 1 minute.
Thank you, ma'am. Please, ma'am, how do we encourage those who are already serving? Because sometimes there are a lot of our own members who will run them down. How do we encourage such people? It's not our own right or our own responsibility to tell people you cannot be here or there. There are people who God has enabled them to serve in various ministries. There are people who are even just in one group or one ministry, and they are not even effective. And there are people who are in 5 ministries or 5 groups in the church, and they are very effective. How do I encourage such people so that other members will not run them down? Thank you, ma'am.
This that I'm hearing, they are not, I mean, passing judgments, because you also are saying they are not effective. You are also doing the same thing that you are saying people are doing. Let us know that we cannot judge anyone. And if you find anyone who is not doing, some people just want to serve God. They may not have been, discipled or trained. You know, the beauty of discipleship is, one of the things that discipleship encourages is that you discover where God wants you to serve. And then you go there and begin to serve. And that is gradually you get integrated into that group. But if you have people who have already been serving in areas here and there, and are now hearing people saying, "Oh, you are not effective here. You are not," well, all I will encourage you is that the passages we've read, you are not serving man; you are serving God. So God is the one you are dealing with. You are not dealing with any man. As long as your heart is clear that this is what God wants me to do, and this is where God wants me to serve, it is okay. However, sit down and ask yourself, those who are talking, are they talking from their hatred for me? Or are they talking from their love and concern for me? Because there are people that may be saying the right thing to you, but because of the way they are saying it, you don't want to listen. Maybe they are saying it just like that. They are not calling you as being friendly to tell you, Brother Clement, why not, I'm just using it as an example, why not stay in one place? Why not stay with Sunday school and leave, I don't know where else you serve? If they don't say it that way, you might feel like, okay, since you have said this, who told you? I'm going to prove to you that I'm also useful here. So you are jumping from one place to the other, not being really, really very useful. Let us know. Let us ask ourselves and ask God, this place I'm serving, am I really making you happy? Am I really blessing lives? Am I really bringing something to the table? Or I'm just there so that I can be part of the number? But let us know that we are not doing this for God. God is the one that will judge us at the end of the day. That is really very important. The last question. I said two, but I saw one. Okay, the King Robert.
Thank you, man. My question is that serving in the vineyard, is it all rosy? Because I had the benefits that were shared here. Is it all rosy? Is that what Christ promised?
No.
Thank you, man.
Of course, it is not all rosy. And that is the preparation that we need before we go to the vineyard of God, which many of us are not prepared for. And you know, I said some people had served before, but they left. They decided not to serve again. Some had served where they were before, and then they moved to church and said, okay, I'm not serving. This new church I'm not going to serve. Some have served. In fact, some have had stories from others. They've not joined, though. They've not started serving, though. But they've had stories from others. For instance, Mrs. Our sister at the back said, "You say I don't want WMS wahala." This person hasn't been to WMS, but he's saying WMS wahala. How did he know that there's wahala in WMS? How did she know there's wahala in WMS? Because some people presented to her that there's wahala in WMS. Or from the carryover, that anywhere you find women, there's problem. These are just things that we think, well, maybe it will happen. But let us understand that. Even in our companies, in our offices, are there no issues there? Don't we have issues in our offices? Okay, so why didn't you say, because if I get a job, there will be problems. So I don't want to get a job. I'm not getting a job. Hello, how many of us have said this? I'm not going to the office again because I'm just tired of this wahala. How many of us did that? We are still going. Or you said, this business, this my big, maybe you have a boutique or you have a shop, you have a petrol station, and you now say, this problem, they say, if I'm tired, I don't want to do it again. I'm not doing it again. Did you do that? We are still going in spite of the problem. So let us know that there is nothing that we do that there is no... I mean, there are no challenges. There are always challenges everywhere. Even family, are there no challenges? If you say, okay, because there are challenges in marriage, I'm not going to get married. Do you know that your own siblings, Abby, don't we have issues with our siblings? Will you travel to the moon and say, because there are issues in families, I want to stay alone? We stay to accommodate, to accept and to deal with them somehow. So let us know that even in church, there are issues. As long as we are still here on earth, we have not become angels. So have we become angels? As long as we are still flesh and blood, as long as we are human beings, there will be issues. So when you are coming, don't come with that. The moment there's any issue, I'll run away. Mm-mm. Stay. Stay and let's settle it. Know that they will say in Yoruba, in church, Shadu and Shami, there is no quarrel in church. When you pray, I will say amen, and I will go. No, there is quarrel in church. When we quarrel, what do we do in church? We settle it, and we move on. Because if you say, I run, you run, everybody run. Who will So we will leave it for the troublemakers to run. And then what happens eventually? Problem. So there are issues in church. Let us not come with, I don't want problem. No. If those people happen to be your brother, your sister, will you run away from them? So God will encourage us. Let us know that it's our business. In fact, do you know the attitude you must have as a child of God? If you have been born again, if you are a child of God, this is your father's house. Hello? Hello? This is where? My father's house. And nobody has more rights than I do. Especially in the Baptist church. You know, in Baptist church, it is a priesthood of every believer. So nobody has more rights than you do what? Than you do. So don't let anybody come. Because that's an idea some people have. That, these are the people that can talk. These are the special people. No, it is my father's house. If you are tithing, and I'm tithing, don't we have, Yorubans will say, Ajole Numbe Abi. Sorry for my, we all have equal rights. Thank you. So it's your father's house. If somebody wants to, let us build it together. We must together build our father's house. Uh-huh. We must together build our father's house. Let's not run away and leave it for some people to build. Let's come and rebuild the wall that is broken. It is our father's house. We must not fold our hands. We must not run away. We must not say we are not concerned. We all are concerned. It is my father's house. Tell somebody it is your father's house. Tell them it's your father's house. Or is it not your father's house? It is your father's house. If you have a child, who is living in your house? You all know. I'm concluding now. If a visitor comes, if your niece comes to your house, if your niece comes to your house to spend time in your house, and she decides to behave as a visitor, you know, that kind of thing. She comes in and doesn't want to do anything. She doesn't relate with anybody. Will you be happy? You'll not be happy. Sometime ago, like 2 years ago, a pastor's wife, the daughter wanted to do NYC, and she sent her to my house to come and, because where she was serving was would be closed, so she should come and live in my house. In fact, the day she came was a Tuesday. I was in church for a meeting. I closed very late. But I had told the people at home that somebody is coming. No, I had not seen her before. I don't know her. The last time I saw her, she was young, so I didn't like. So by the time I got home, around to 11, I said, where is the visitor? They said she has gone to bed. I said, okay, so this one, you didn't see the person that, anyway, no problem. The next morning, I saw her. Okpari, she went out. In the night, she came back. Everybody was in the kitchen. She didn't come. Okay, come and eat. No, I'm okay. The moment she said, I'm okay, I knew she was shy. She wasn't shy. She wasn't shy. She was trying to tell me that I don't want to be a part of this home and I'm not going to do any work here. That was what she was telling me. So she wasn't doing anything. She would come, she would not want to eat. I said, come and eat now. So that she will not eat. You know, when you eat, you will clean the kitchen, you will wash plates, you will clean. She didn't want to do that. So she was not eating. But when she now will get to the room, you know what? She had bought a mede-mede. That was what she would be eating. And I said, this is not healthy, but that was what she was eating. Until eventually she couldn't stay long because we were not connecting. I said, how can you be staying in my house and you not want to do anything? So if you have somebody in the church, has she taken that house as her house? No. But if she comes around the kitchen and we gist and we do everything, you know she's part of the family. That is what God wants you to do in the church. This is your father's house. You must be involved in your father's house. You must relax and get acquainted. So if you are here today, there are people you don't see them, you don't know their name. Can we just stand up? Oh, yeah, move around. Look for two or three people whose names you don't know and go and ask what's their name. Oh, yeah, let's get up. Let's get up. Let's get up. Look for two or three people. You are not doing that. They've not done anything. This is your father's house. You must know them. When you know them, tomorrow you will greet them well. Don't just walk past people. This is your father's house. We are of the same blood because the same blood redeemed us. Ask for that woman's name. Ask for that man's name. Thank you very much. It is your father's house. It is your father's house. It is your father's house. The Lord will help us to be useful in his house. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.